Was it a cat luge?
Yeah, wasn't it a cat? I think that the ice sculpture was a cat. Because we were doing shots off its tail.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
David Parrish, we are already into episode 5 at WPPI season 9, joined with Catford Coates.
Hello, hello.
Photographer, badass, teacher, philanthropist?
Occasionally.
Occasionally, philanthropist, handyman?
Sometimes.
Carpenter?
No.
Okay, all right, that's where it stops.
Car mechanic. Car mechanic. Carpentry.
Kat, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We hung out was WPPI 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
We had a blast 3 years ago.
Yeah, we did.
At Tina's super spreader event.
Yeah.
Well, that's happened since
then. With the cat luge.
Was it a cat luge?
Yeah, wasn't it a cat? I think that the ice sculpture was a cat. Because we were doing shots off its tail.
I don't know. I came in at the end of that one and very quickly had to go.
How have you been since then? Lots happened.
A lot has happened. Yeah. I've been great. We've been just moving, like incrementally is not the right word. Exponentially. Like faster and faster. Every time I turn around, I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. Sounds good. Keep going.
In work or just life in general?
Mostly in work. I mean, life is always there, right?
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah. Kind of sucks when it's not.
Yeah. That changes the dynamic a little bit.
So for everyone listening that isn't familiar, how would you describe your work? What do you do?
Ooh. I'm a portrait photographer. I specialize in just like that one-on-one connection and moment with a single person usually. It's 95% I photograph women, and it's just all about photographing the grace and strength of the person in front of me.
And I noticed when I was doing looking at your website that I found you have a main website, which is your name, and then there's links to two different websites. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Why two? What's the...
Well, that's a great question and one I ask myself pretty regularly these days. So we have Catford Coates, which is basically the landing page. And then You Unforgettable is for my Asheville studio and my photography work. And then we have the Studio Takeover, which is my mentoring brand.
Okay, awesome. So your studio's in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been there?
I've been in Asheville. God. Hang on.
Oh, what's the alarm for?
Me. Lord knows.
That specific alarm gives me the most anxiety ever.
I like the church bells.
I've used it for so many years that now anytime it goes off, oh, the instant panic. What am I late for?
And for me, it's probably like, don't forget to take your supplements.
I looked through my alarms the other day, and I almost have an alarm for every minute of the day. Because it's going back now to...
It's just max.
You don't delete them or change them?
I never use the same one. I just add a new one. So I wish I could attach a story to every.
I'm pretty sure that would I've seen that would give me heavy anxiety and just make me need to reorganize. I'd have to reorganize it in the moment.
All right. So North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
Are you from that area? No. How'd you end up there?
So I grew up in Florida, and I went to college in Boston. And after 4 years in Boston, I was like, "Get me the fuck out of here," and. At the time, my boyfriend didn't want to go back to Florida, and he was from North Carolina, and I had family there also, and I was like, okay, fine, there's four whole seasons. I can do four seasons. And so that was in 2004.
Does Boston not have four seasons?
They do, but it's like 8 months of winter.
Yeah.
And then it's just like beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
If you blink.
Like 6 weeks at a time.
If you have the flu, you might miss a season. Yeah, right. That's kind of how St. Louis is.
Very cool city, but get me out. But that was in 2004, and I've been there ever since.
I don't think I've ever been to North Carolina. Most states, but never North Carolina. Hmm. I hear it's awesome. It's
beautiful.
It's a gorgeous place on the west side of the state.
Yeah.
The eastern side of the state I haven't spent a lot of time in, but in the mountains,
Asheville's
it's pretty
where great. The Biltmore is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's such an incredible property.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You just get lost in there.
That would be, if I could ever choose a location to have a photo shoot in, it would probably be
Come on.
That whole property.
I've got a Biltmore? Season pass.
The Biltmore is a old manor house. It is still, you're talking like Vanderbilt era manor house. So like the golden age of America.
Is that the official? Is there an official golden age of America?
Yeah, the coming of the Industrial Revolution when everybody was making money. Age? Like the 1900s to like 1920 something, I think.
All right. What was the age after the golden age?
I don't know. I'm an expert on all this stuff.
Dance?
But this, I need to know all your
is,
ages.
This Not is a one. it's a massive house. It is the largest still privately owned home in America, mm-hmm. even though the original family, like obviously, you know, they've gotten much larger. They still have like and a portion of the home that's a private home, and then the rest is like basically a tourist attraction. It's massive, gorgeous. The grounds are insane.
Yeah. So, can you do a photo shoot there? Do they rent it out?
I think you probably
you can. There's like a, you know, and actually it's not as steep as you think it, as you might think it would be. It's like $1,500 to get access for the day to go anywhere you want, as long as it's not in the house.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, it's amazing beautiful experience.
All right. So as a photographer, what does your average week look like? is there such a thing?
I mean, it depends on if I'm on the road or not. So usually the first week of the month I'm on the road. But typically
of every month on the road. All right.
And then when I'm at home, Mondays are admin and then coaching. And then Tuesdays is content creation. Wednesday, Thursday, photo shoot. Friday is like, I get to decide.
How did you get to the point or what happened where you're like, I need to do specific things on specific days?
Oh, like again and again, every 6 months, I'll like get really regimented about it and then be like, okay, I can wing this. No, I can't. I cannot wing this.
So, all right, that's interesting. So why the first of the month you're traveling? And like, what is it you're traveling to do?
So I'm a co-host for the 12-month startup for the Portrait System.
Okay.
And so we do our primary broadcast on the first Monday of the month. And so that might be in my studio. It might be in Phoenix at Sue Bryce's studio. It might be in Knoxville at Sarai's studio. It might be in Italy in June. Like at Graffy Castle. Like, so it's just, this is when we do that thing.
What's Graffy Castle?
Graffy Studios?
Graffy Studios. No, what is it?
Oh.
Is it amazing? Is it like, is it from the Golden Age? from the Bronze Age. The Platinum Age.
I don't know of a Bronze Age in America.
There's a rabbit hole. No, Graffy Studios, they make all of my folio boxes and all my artwork.
Okay.
And they're based in Italy in a tiny little town called Piolungo. And in Piolungo, it's about 2 hours north of Venice. Uh-huh. And every year they host a workshop with Sue Bryce specifically. And this year it's actually with Sue and Terry Hofford and Cara Marie. And they're doing two of them back to back in June. And they own a castle that they bought in the 80s.
Doesn't everyone in Europe own a castle?
God, that would be
degree?
So cool.
You know,
I want to own a castle.
Right?
Yeah.
I keep seeing them pop up for sale all over the place.
Well, and the best is when you see them pop up for sale and it's like $100,000 and you too can own a castle in Scotland. And you're like,
that you
got to
dump another $7 billion in to renovate.
Yeah. You just got to give up your passport.
Yep.
Can't leave the country. We could own a castle, Dave. Me and
we
you.
We could.
Yeah.
That would be like, then we can make it a destination place where people just come to us to do photo shoots.
That would be dope.
Moat or no moat?
Definitely a moat.
Always moat.
A moat. Yeah.
Always.
With crocodiles or no crocodiles?
Well, I don't know many places in Europe that's going to support the crocodile living in said
Do crocodiles boat. Exist in Europe?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it's
they will
be
after
a thing
we get out. Our moat.
And it's going to be heated, then, apparently.
Then there's an infestation.
That's the dragon.
Like the hippos. Yeah. I just watched the problem that the Colombians have with hippos because of what's his name with the Coke. I can't remember. Oh,
I think I saw that like on a Vanity Fair Instagram or something. Because he was like smuggling cocaine with hippos or something.
When he was killed, there was hippos on the property and they just got out and now they've been multiplying. And hippos are like the most dangerous animal in the world.
In the world.
And now they're just all over the place.
We have that. We have that problem where I live, except not hippos. We have oryx.
What are oryx?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what an oryx is.
I didn't.
That sounds like it's from the Lord of the Rings.
That's what I said. The very first time somebody was like, you know, we're cruising around the deserts of El Paso, and they're like, you got to watch out for the oryx. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. An oryx? Like, what is this, Lord of the Rings? But an oryx, not spelled O-R-C, it's O-R-Y-X, like oryx. It is like an African, looks like a mixture between a water buffalo, a zebra, and a unicorn. Shit you not.
Okay. Yeah. So they're like really furry with a single horn,
they're not super furry. They have like the butt of like a cow, water buffalo, antelope looking thing. So they like got shorter hair. And then they have like zebra stripes. And then they have like two unicorn horns coming straight up. I'm telling you, they're crazy. So
they're magical. The story
is that sometime back in the day, there was like an army colonel that brought these African creatures over.
Oh yeah, I've
and seen yeah, those. Like they're crazy looking, right? And I guess they got out of control or they bred and they're there.
Those are really long horns.
They're huge.
And El Paso was just like, cool.
It's like a 5 foot horn.
They're huge.
This is why customs like takes their job very seriously.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
All right, back in the day. Back to Italy.
Italy.
When are you going back to Italy?
In June.
So in June is the workshop. Yeah. Is it sold out?
Not yet.
Not yet. How many people can go?
So each workshop is 60 seats. Okay. And I'd have no idea what their ticket sales look like right now. But I know last year they opened up one workshop and it was gone in less than a day.
Wow.
So I imagine tickets will be gone by the
end of
the week. Do
people stay at the castle?
Mm-mm.
So in and around outside
the Like road. There's this, so the castle's here, right? And then there's like a little almost town here. And that has like a hotel. Village. It's a village, yeah. There's like a hotel that has 8 rooms, like old school skeleton keys, like all of that. And then a little farther down, about an hour south, is this larger village. And there, I think there's like 3 hotels in this circle. It's like a fountain in the center of it. And there's like a pizza place and a pasta place and an ice cream place or gelato, excuse me.
Yeah.
And that's where you go. And they come and get you with a bus. Oh, it's
I'm going to Italy.
Magical.
All right, pizza in Italy. Is it the best, or is there a place here you like better?
No. Like, the U.S. can just suck it on some pizza.
Ooh,
like,
dang.
Italy is where it's at.
Yeah. For sure. Right. I agree.
I don't disagree. We've got some good pizza places here.
We do, but it's like,
it's not the same.
It's like the difference between having, like, Mexican food in Mexico, like deep Mexico, and then having like border Mexican food that's like the Americanized version that most of us know, like the Tex-Mex version.
They did invent it.
Yeah, it's totally different. Like, it's not that it's bad. It's just
different.
A different experience.
I mean, just like the Europeans, they have their flour is rated so much higher in quality and like
all the ingredients.
So a buddy of mine that I used to work out with, he was from Italy, and he would be like, I'm making my grandmother's lasagna recipe from scratch. And you'd sit there, and he'd be throwing shit across the kitchen and be like, ah, Americans. You're just like, okay.
I think that the thing that I loved about Italy and also pissed me off about Italy is like, I don't know what they call it. It's not the siesta time, but like the time that they all just basically close down their shops and they like go home for the afternoon to like hang out with their families. And then the times they put on their door may or may not be the times that they return. Like, you're just like, if I don't come back, then
see you tomorrow, yeah, maybe.
Whatever, maybe. you'd show up at a restaurant and be like, oh, I'm here to eat. And maybe they would be there and maybe they wouldn't. Obviously, this wasn't as big of a problem in like Rome or, you know, the big cities. But when you get out in the skirts, they just might not be there.
Got more important things.
As an American,
to
you're
do.
Just like, what your time on the door says you're supposed to be here. Yeah, it's debatable.
That's right.
We need to live like that.
I'm into it. Life first, right? Exactly. Like, you know what? I've got laundry to do. People may or may not show up today.
We had 7 more glasses of wine at lunch than was intended, and we're just not coming back.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
All right, so you've got a very regimented schedule.
Currently.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
So you love it. What do you like better, shooting or teaching?
Ooh. I think that answer changes depending on what I'm doing in the moment.
Depending on the students in the room.
No. Like, when I'm teaching and, like, actually teaching and having those conversations and yeah. like, you see that light bulb happening, it's like, yes, awesome, word, making an impact. And then when I'm shooting, I'm like, oh, God, I've missed this. You know? So yeah. it's just, like, some days... For me, I'm a creator, so I could be writing a business plan, I could be painting, I could be stacking rocks in a fucking river. It doesn't matter, as long as I'm creating something. And I think that's what matters in my world.
Yeah. So how did you get into photography? Where'd you learn?
In college, my first round, I took a darkroom course. And I remember standing in the darkroom, like something was in Fixer, and being like, man, this would be a cool job. Huh. I have no idea how I'd make this happen. So, and then I left and went back to my restaurant job at 18 years old. And
you said the first round, did you go back to school?
Yeah. I went to college in Boston also.
For 4 years. And then it was too cold and you left.
Yes.
So, and did you study it in Boston as well? Or did you do something else?
No, I actually studied audio engineering in college.
Oh, did you do anything with audio? Did you try?
I ruined my hearing.
Oh. A lot of rock concerts?
A lot of metal.
So metal, is that your jam?
Occasionally.
Who do you listen to? What's on your Spotify playlist at the end of the year?
Oh, God. Eminem.
Eminem.
Yeah.
Still to this day. The new stuff or the old stuff?
Like all of it.
The gold school.
All of it. Like bring me all of it. It could be higher.
Bangers.
It could be like Jimmy, Brian, David, whatever. Like all the Eminem. But I also listen to a lot of Tool, Deftones. I'm a recovering opera singer, so there's some classical in the mix.
You were an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that?
High school. Yeah.
There was an opera class in high school?
I went to a performing arts high school.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. That?
Cool parents. You must have cool parents.
My parents are pretty awesome. I don't know that I thought that at the time.
How? So Whoever where are there performing are awesome arts the high schools?
Say what?
Where are there performing arts high schools? How do we get more of those? I think that's what we need more of.
I would love that. Right? That was dope.
Less of the traditional high schools.
Yeah, no, it was pretty great. And I got into it because we had a magnet school in Sarasota, and it was the performing arts school, and I was basically just running from the kids that I'd been in school with since I was in kindergarten. And they opened up an opportunity for me to be able to attend, even though I wasn't in the school district. And so I was like, half day at one school and then half day at the art school. And then they were like, okay, since you're in the VPA program, you can be here all day. And I was like, score, let me in, I'm in. And that was that.
So what's one thing that you're trying to get better at photography?
Ooh.
Is there anything that you're working on currently that you're like, this is my goal?
I mean, I don't know that it's like a tangible goal. Like I'm always trying to see light shaping differently. And styling and movement and just improve on that, the tech side of things, because I do run into things like wham, bam, wing it. And that's usually when I discover the thing that I've been chasing. But being able to look at things and have creative time that is intended just for me specifically, instead of creating for the person in front of me. That's usually when I can kind of decide what that goal is. Like, what do I feel like I need to improve on? And there's, you know, all the pieces of the recipe in photo and saying, okay, what do I really want to get better at today?
Do you have any personal projects going on now that you're planning?
No. Right now I'm just trying to keep up with my fucking schedule.
Yeah, it sounds nuts, but very regimented, which I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
it hasn't
awesome.
Always been regimented.
No.
We spent most of, I think, COVID talking about this. Mm-hmm. This is actually kind of weird. I was thinking about it now because I can hear your voice and see you. And so like we clubhoused for like all of the pandemic. So this is sort of weird now to like
be in the room.
Yeah, be hearing the same thing because normally we would just have headphones on. She's at her house.
Is Clubhouse still a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, people are still clubhousing. I still get alerts all the time.
Do you remember like our first big clubhouse where we invited the community? Mm-hmm. And that was January 6th.
Wow.
And that everything was going down and the computer was on.
Yeah.
And wow. It was all happening.
It was traumatic for
That's
me.
What I associate such a hard clubhouse time. With.
Such a hard. It's like that day we were like, oh, let's do this. And then I'm watching the news happen and I'm like texting you and I'm just like, dude. This is nuts.
This is not a good time to clubhouse. Yeah. Or was it? Or was it like a really cool time to connect with people?
I don't even remember.
Or was it just like
that was
trigger warning
right in the
for hours?
Of the pandemic, right? Yeah. January 6th, 2021. No, 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right in the middle of the pandemic, we're all isolated. It was a terrible time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the clubhouse was great because it was a way for everyone to like hop on the phone together.
Yeah.
I just don't know if people are still using it.
I don't know.
So well, you still use it a lot?
Well, I don't use it as much anymore. I mean, it
it's
was
like NFTs.
No, it was part of it was it was really part of like I mean for me it was really part of the whole social burnout that I've talked about multiple times. Like I feel like anything social now is painful for me. Like I mean nobody's on Facebook except for my grandma. So like
grandma's
I don't really well, both of mine are dead, so that's kind of weird. But like it's like
it's
no, the, but I mean it's
the ghost
open.
Of
the
grandma.
Only, the only thing that I actually put on Facebook generally is like when I want to show my parents the grandkids and stuff, or like here's the thing. And like other than that, I don't really mess with it. But like you know, Clubhouse was the same. I just had to like step away. There was just seemed like so much that was pulling on you and like asking for your attention. And I mean, thank God for Clubhouse. It was a great like a lifeline we didn't really have the ability to all be together. And like we had this consistent talk with like us and Nicole, and I mean we were basically doing it like every single morning,
Monday through Friday 9 a.m.
And it was great. And then like after a while I had to tell her, I was like, I had to step away because it's just one more thing that was just mm-hmm. demanding of just like look at me, touch me, pay attention to me.
Well, it was interesting. When Clubhouse came out, I remember like breathing a sigh of relief because I could hear people's voices.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a podcast where I was disconnected from it. I could be in a room with people and be safe, not get COVID, not die and go through all of the things, but actually have human connection. And, you know, like that was important. That was impactful. And I'm really glad that it was created. Now I'm like, I don't even think it's on my phone anymore. Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's really cool in concept, right? Like mm-hmm. it's a podcast just like this where the audience at any point in time can raise their hand and be like, I have a question or mm-hmm. I want to interact. And then you as the content creator, you can say like whether or not you can come into the space and you have a little bit of control so you don't have random people because some randomness out there. But I don't know. It's still really cool because the audience can – I don't know, Kat, I have this question and you're talking about this topic. Can mm-hmm. I just ask it of you? But it is hard to live broadcast because there's so many unknowns.
Yeah. So while we're on the topic of kind of COVID and what happened, how did you do in COVID? Like, what was it like for your business, for you personally? Like, do you want to talk about it?
Sure. COVID was interesting. The first few months I was like, oh, word. I can just chill out. Like somebody will eventually tell me I can go and leave my house again. So I just drank tequila in my backyard, hung out with my dogs. Was like, this is cool. And then after a while I was like, huh, this is getting kind of strange. Okay. I can probably ride this out and make it through like August. I've got savings, you know, like, I'm okay through August before I'm like, I need to be actively working. We gotta go. And then that summer I was like, okay, we can work out social distancing. Like that became part of the culture and like safety standards and all of the things. So I went into the studio and just top to bottom, ripped it apart and worked through training with all my makeup artists and got them Barbicide certified and, you know, like all of the things. And we just lit off a campaign and I just went back to work. So that was COVID for me.
And so you were back to work with that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And were there a lot of people still wanting to get photo shoots or?
Yeah. I mean, I ran a campaign. Mariah, my associate and I photographed 42 people in 5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in, when you say ran a campaign, are you these Facebook ads, these advertising you're pushing out?
I mean, it's a whole sales funnel system. And, you know, we run a few ads, but, you know, just a few $100, not like a big powerhouse, whatever, just enough to create the brand awareness, the opportunity awareness, I should say.
How do you build your funnels? What's in your like tech stack of software that's
at the time? At the time, it was literally just Facebook, Squarespace, HoneyBook, right? And just feed it in and go. And now I'm using Podia a lot more. So Podia is
in place of HoneyBook and Squarespace. Podia does the whole thing.
It has the capacity to do the whole thing. I still run people through the CRM just to make sure there's that double back and all the emails go out at the appropriate time. And
double opt-in, like for email? Or what do you mean by double back?
So we can go back through because Podia is a new system for us.
Oh, got it.
Historical reference. The CRM allows me, because I can just drop everybody in through Podia into the CRM so that everything's still in one place. And so I have that backup.
Got it. So in your website is on Squarespace.
Unforgettable. Yeah, I did. U Unforgettable is on Squarespace. The Studio Takeover right now is on Podia.
So if you could plan out the perfect software where you could do like everything, like what would, is there such a thing? Like I feel like photographers are now having to duct tape like three or four pieces of tech together, and like they don't
That's always kind of been the way, though, right?
Does it have to be though? Why can't there?
It doesn't have to be. I think Gobi Creative is actually.
I've never heard of it. What's Gobi Creative?
Oh, they're is like it new? The next level of CRM.
Oh.
I did a test run with them, maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, something like that. Like you can text, you can do email blasts, you can CRM it up, you can run your website through it, like the whole nine yards, but there were still just some UX pieces that weren't quite in place for me. But I messaged them like when I was backing out and I was like, look, hit me again in 6 months. Let me see where you're at. Like, let me see what your UX is. Right now, this doesn't work the way my brain does. So I can't be slowed down. But when it is, call me because I mean it's powerful.
Are you someone who loves new gear? When a new camera or lens comes out, do you even care?
Nope, I'm still shooting on a Mark IV. Like I want the new thing, right? Like oh, I should go to mirrorless. Everybody says I should be mirrorless, and I'm like, but that's $5,000. I don't need to spend on that.
Yeah.
Now, do I get excited when a piece of gear is in my hand? Sure. I'm like, oh, that's what that's about. But am I going to run out?
The other thing I think about mirrorless, and this is something I'm wrestling with because I still like an eyepiece, right? And when mirrorless doesn't feel like it's designed to be on your eye. Like, and when I see the young kids be shooting, right, they're like using the LCD screens on the back of the camera, which...
That's how I shoot.
That's how you shoot?
I shoot live, yeah.
Oh, man. I can't do it. I like the camera like against my eye.
And it drives me crazy when I shoot film, right? Because if I go and shoot film, now I'm like, oh, wait, shit.
Like in concept, I feel like the LCD screen makes way more sense because you're seeing it in the format that ultimately it will be presented in, right? I just can't figure out how to do this life out here where the camera's at arm's distance and you're moving.
I prefer it because I can stay connected to the person. And the second I come here and bring the camera in front of my face, that connection disappears. When I'm here, it's fine. But the downside to it is often they're paying attention to you instead of looking at the lens. So you have to actually give direction. All right, I need you to pay attention to the top of this lens right here instead of looking at me.
The other problem I found with mirrorless is like when you're working with a person, because there's not that, like I want them to create like a digital shutter click so that people can hear when the shutter's firing. Because like, especially when you're working with models and people who are normally
they
used
do
to
have
being,
that.
No,
it makes a
like
noise.
It's so quiet. In comparison, it's so quiet. I've had multiple people be like,
"You've got that loud Nikon slap, don't you?"
Yeah, the D850 is hits hard.
Yeah,
it hits hard.
Clack.
Playing around. Yeah, it's letting you know that a picture was taken.
So, do you leave the other eye open
I shoot a camera the same way I shot a rifle. I got both eyes open. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that might be a little creepy from my side of view. Like, you got that one eye on me, then the camera. I don't know.
You got to be able to see, like, because, you know, like, Doesn't that mess you up? I've always found that, like,
both eyes open.
When whatever's in the eye is paying attention to all the camera settings or in the eyepiece. And then, like, I tend to notice things like stray hairs or messed up clothing or stuff like that with my off eye, the camera, the eye that's
You're doing both of that at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what,
process information.
You don't have to worry about wrinkles on one side.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you close that eye all the time. Like, now all the that's the Botox, man.
The Botox fixes that.
Do you kiss with your eyes open, David?
See everything that's going on in the room.
Yeah, I got to
say. He had to think about it.
I did have to think about it.
Do I do that?
I don't think I do. That's weird. Because then you're right in it. Like, there's nothing to see because you're right on top of it. I don't know. Thanks, bro. You made it weird.
Well, that's kind of my job. I like making it weird. I think Kat appreciates it. She probably doesn't. No. So what am I doing here?
I have moments. No. Yeah.
So what's your week look like here? What do you use or do at WPPI?
Network like a crazy person.
All right.
Yeah.
Like, who are you networking with? Like, brands or people?
A lot of students right now, but obviously, like, maintaining and nurturing those vendor relationships too.
Yeah.
You know, going over and talking to Dan at Elinchrome and seeing Profoto and talking to Graphy and all the things.
She's seeing both Elinchrome and her side bitch is Profoto. Oh, apparently. Yeah.
So we've been asking everyone this. Are you doing anything with consistent or constant light, continuous light?
Yeah.
Consistent light.
Yeah. I scooped up LS600. From Aperture about 7-8 months ago, just because we're doing all of this broadcasting and filming and all of this. And I've been playing with it in the studio, and it's really kind of nice because it doesn't, like, with strobes, you know, you're turning on the modeling light anyway just to kind of see where things are feathering and what you need to flag and all of that. And with constant, it's just nice to be able to, walk into the space and, like, okay, it's doing what I want it to do.
Yeah.
And now I can just stay present with the person in front of me.
Yeah.
So, I'm enjoying constant. It's pretty fun.
I feel like you get way less raw photos in the hard drive because you see it happen, you can't see it happen, you know. So it's way less hard drive space. It was like, no, shut up.
No, I mean, I constant, like, especially in its more modern evolution, it fascinates me. I feel like I would like to get more into it, but to your point, I feel like with strobe, I can see what the strobe is going to do without actually seeing the light. Like, your brain just learns, like, if I have this modifier and I have this, like, this is what I know it's going to do.
One shot, Dave.
No, definitely not one shot. Come on.
Hi.
I know I'm getting older and everything, but.
So you mentioned Westcott. Is that your choice of
Elinchrome?
Elinchrome and Profoto.
You didn't say Westcott?
No.
I made that up.
You did.
All right. So Elinchrome.
Mm-hmm.
That's your go-to for modifiers.
So it's interesting. For a long time, I was just Elinchrome all day, every day. And when I started doing a lot of destination work, I was like, I'm sick of all these cables. And they hadn't released the 1 or the 5 yet. And Profoto had already gone wireless. So then I got a set of B10s so that I can just run a gun. And so now I have like these 2 sets. And so I always feel like such a jerk every time I'm like talking to Dan, right? And then over here being like, oh, hi. Well, I mean, I don't see why not. I enjoy what they do. 1 can be wireless and 1 in the studio, like that. The ELB5s are powerhouse. But yeah, I still need to be able to move.
I mean, I love the B10 for some movement. Those things are just, you could fit 2, 3, 4 of them in your bag with no issues whatsoever. You can basically carry a full studio setup in these little tiny cans. Like, they're amazing. They make great zoom lights too, the LED modeling. That's what I use mine for all the time.
So what does a good relationship with a photographer in a brand like Elinchrome look like to you? Because I know that a lot of people want to say that they're sponsored or they're on the ambassador team. So, like, maybe what advice do you have for photographers who are trying to get to that level of, like, working with brands?
I mean, I'm not sponsored by a brand outside of the portrait system, so I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, I thought you were.
Mm-mm. No, I do have a good relationship. Like, there's,
is that something
there's
that interests
support.
You, or sure. do you even care?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's always worth considering. It depends on what the exchange is, right?
Or the strings attached. Like, can you use no one else's gear but that
right.
gear? Like,
do I have to turn in one brand, or you know, like,
what brands are doing that now?
I don't know.
Canon still doing that?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's really doing it because, like, I mean, like, I shoot with Profoto lights, but I actually like Ellen Crom's modifiers better. Mm. So I combine the two on a regular basis. Just like their modifiers well, better.
I know Canon was doing that because that's why Vincent LaFerre left Canon, because he wasn't allowed to shoot with Red. And he was like, well, you guys haven't really come out with a camera that's better for motion. I'll still use it for, you know, Canon for...
I mean,
it makes the
sense.
Right tool for the job.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for the brand, but also, I don't know. I mean, I have such a hard time with the influencer, like, are people buying gear because they see their heroes using that gear?
100%.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It is the best way marketing is happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the older traditional way of, like, a flashy commercial is almost dead.
But I see,
well,
I see
not
us
that it's
use,
dead.
I see us.
It's not number one anymore. It's not
well,
the
no,
number
the
one.
Influencer's the commercial.
Correct.
Right.
But what I was saying was like the traditional like product features, really high production, really high commercial value, the traditional way that you would shoot a commercial. Now it's like, it almost has to be this like made in your home with the iPhone. Like,
yeah, like a lifestyle
fully transparent,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Like that in bulk to me is what I'm seeing is converting the most. And that's actually what is converting on Facebook. Like we A/B test ads nonstop, and that is crushing historically ads that have always worked. And you see bigger and bigger brands almost going out of the way to make things look that low budget. I would say low budget, but like, you know, approachable.
Right.
Well,
I feel like that's what a lot of people are consuming, right? Like you look at the TikToks and you look at the reels and everything, like that's how people are typically consuming is things that look like they were filmed on a phone. So if you're trying to be like, well, I'm an everyday person just like you, mm-hmm. but I use this product, it makes sense.
Are you a TikToker?
I deleted TikTok.
No, I definitely consume TikTok on occasion, but like I tried to get into it and I was like, this is an awful lot of effort and I just don't have the time.
I know.
But one thing that I do like about like, you know, how you were saying with the advertising piece, you know, instead of that high commercial budget, rah, 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 influencers are like, well, I'll spend $100 on this thing and then I'll give a 2-minute rant about it. Now you watch these influencers, they're going to just turn into that space where they go high budget with it. And then you're going to have just nothing but Kardashians like just owning it every space.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or do we care?
Are we asking Kanye or are we asking the Kardashians?
Good.
I don't know. Let's start with Kanye. What happened to Kanye? Where is he at? What do you think he's doing right now? Ugh.
He's having a rant someplace.
Man, he really went out there. Let's. We went out
he's having a tough time.
He's having a rough couple years. All right. So do you do any social media? Do you enjoy posting?
I mean, posting is a part of what we do.
Right.
You know, it's integrated.
So what do you do it for? And how often are you doing it?
Brand awareness. I usually will sit down for like 3 or 4 hours and like map out some videos and then schedule to release like a half an hour in the morning. I'll sit down, drink coffee and be like, okay, Instagram, does this belong on Facebook? I don't know. If it's an I don't know, then I don't even bother. But
are you scheduling things into the future? Or are you like posting it when you need to post it?
Mostly I'm scheduling it. But then if I'm inspired to do something, then I'll do it on the fly. Most of my stories are on the fly and then reels and posts are just scheduled and put together.
And Facebook, Instagram, anything else? Or just those?
Mostly just those. I was in the Twitter space, like in the NFT, whatever. And
is NFT still happening? Mm-hmm. Is that still a thing?
It's still a thing. I made some money.
You got it. Okay. Can we talk about it?
Sure.
What was the first NFT that you sold?
It was a portrait of a woman named Belle that I had. And I think I did like 1 of 5 and only one of them sold, but some like big dude saw it. I guess he was trolling like the hashtag of like first NFT virgin, whatever. And he picked up one of them for like $500. And I went, people will pay me money for this.
So where is it now? Does the same guy still have it? Or do you know
no
where
idea.
It's at?
No idea.
And are you still thinking about NFTs today, or is it?
I mean, it's still on my radar, but I'm not down the Twitter rabbit hole for 27 hours a day. Like, and like, you know, building community is terrific, and the engagement, like, fine. But eventually, you know, when people come out of that, you know, I'm just at home all the time space, like, I just can't make engaging on Twitter for that kind of time investment without a guarantee on that return.
So Twitter now. What's going on with Twitter? Do we know?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter every day.
Oh, you are? Yeah. How do you use it?
Well, for me, it's just politics. It's the only place, like, I want everything compartmentalized. Like, that's one of the reasons I got tired of social media, is like, people were blasting you everywhere with like the same stuff. So like, now I want to just, if I want to look at politics, I just want to do it in this space. And if I want to look at photos, I just want to do it in this space. And if I want to get an update on what grandma's doing, I just want to do it in this space. So I don't know. For me, I just compartmentalized everything.
And you're not on Twitter anymore? Or
I mean, I'm there. I mean, there's an account there. I yell at Delta every once in a while.
Well, I mean, they probably deserve it, Delta.
Yeah, everybody deserves it.
What's your airline of choice?
No, actually, Delta's my airline of choice.
Is that because you're like stuck there with a bunch of miles, or?
No, I mean, I'm definitely status with them for sure.
Which almost is impossible to leave once you get status.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it. Like, their service is above and beyond any the other, like, okay. American, United. United probably comes pretty close. Elite, like the budget airline, forget it. But Delta's pretty good. But I will hop onto Twitter and be like, what is this? Delta, come on. You can do better.
I saw Frontier's summer promo, unlimited summer promo. Unlimited flights for $3.99, but if you read the details, you can only book a one-way flight, only do it 24 hours before you want to leave, and it's standby. Mm-hmm. So if you go somewhere and you like need to be back next Thursday, there's a chance you won't be back until the following Tuesday.
I could just do that with the military whenever I want. Just go stand out on an airfield and wait and see if I can go someplace.
I can't imagine. That would be the most anxiety ever. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back.
It's funny. I mean, it is super annoying. When I was in Iraq, we had this would just happen all the time where I would be trying to go from like base to base to base to fly someplace, and you would be there multiple times, like show up with your bags, everything, getting ready to go to the next place. Weather would change, and they'd be like, "Go home." Huh? After a while, it's just, I don't know. It just becomes.
Are you just
kind
like
of a norm.
Hitchhiking rides?
Basically,
so like anything you can get on, take me there.
Basically. And like, so, I mean, you have a schedule. You can basically go in and be like, you know, go into the ADAC and be like, is there something going out to this direction today? Or when is the next thing going this direction? But then all sorts of stuff could happen. Like, like dog handlers have priority. So, like, they could just basically walk in and we need to get this dog over to this base. And
as
like,
they should. Dogs are the best.
You're off because they have to fly a dog and a kennel and all the handler stuff. Sorry, right. You can't go.
True I mean, story,
I've watched a general officer get kicked off of a bird because a dog needed to go someplace. It was crazy.
Wow.
That was a fun sentence.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in that sentence. Yeah.
War. It's crazy.
That's one way to put it.
All right. way to kill that one.
And here we are.
So what's, other than Italy, what's the most you're looking forward to in your future? You got anything up your sleeve you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, we just launched this course, Foundation of Freedom, and it's all about, you know, systems and processes. And David knows how much I love systems. But in that space of like, I created this not just for people in startup, but also for people who are kind of a few years in and they just really want to streamline. And we gave our first masterclass. It was open, you know, live audience, la, la, la. And it went so well, and I was really proud of it. Like, oh, I get to resonate with people who want to be more, you know, as business owners and not just like, I'm a photographer, but like, no, you know, suffering artist, la, 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 that always goes down. Like, people are, it's clicking that they can be professionals and generate money that they can use for their lives. And, yeah, Like, so getting that in motion, I think, is...
It's such a powerful space because, I mean, we just talked about this with our last guest as well, but it's such a powerful space when you can be organized, have systems in place, have reminders mm-hmm. for things, but also, like, offload to the appropriate people or to just the appropriate system, right? Like, mm-hmm. it frees up so much space. So, like, I feel like so many artists out there, specifically photographers, are basically... a slave to their job or a slave to their passion mm-hmm. because, you know, I mean, you have to do the photo shoot. You have to do all the pre-execution stuff. Then you have post, and everybody knows post takes so much longer, obviously, than the photo shoot did. And after a while, you just have, you have no life because you're just doing the thing constantly.
Just in the suck.
Yeah, and you're grinding and you're grinding. And, you know, I mean, obviously you should be pricing appropriately so that your retouching time is accounted for, but, you know, there's people out there who just specialize in retouching, like let it go.
You can so pay can them go, to make it amazing.
And then you can get your life back.
You. Yeah.
So in your class, are you teaching specific softwares and how to use them? Or are these more concepts of how people should structure the workflow beyond their business?
The latter. I don't want to go down the, this is a layer, this is a histogram nightmare. Like I'm more the reverse engineer person. So all of the systems that I create are based on the impact and the result that I want.
And are you talking more about the editing and the retouching side or like the...
No, the business side of
it. So the acquisition all the way to final delivery and where the money is coming in.
Yeah.
All right. So where did you learn this from?
Sue Bryce. Hands down.
Where did 1, she 000. Learn this from?
Oh.
Trial and error.
She was born
the
with
universe.
It. She was born with it.
And I feel like if you listen to her talk and you listen to her story, it's very much like, I don't know. I feel like she, you know, new technologies arrived and where a lot of people have been in business for 20, 30 plus years raged against it, just like we're seeing now with some mm-hmm. of the new technology. Instead of raging against it, you say like, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to try it. You know, and again, it's taking those well-calculated risks, right? Trying to figure out where I can mitigate risk and adopt things so that I don't get left behind. I think, if you've ever been in this business for any amount of time and you look around, even just your town where you live, you'll see so many businesses die off and they sell off, you know, they have the big gear mm-hmm. sell, like I'm selling off my studio, I'm doing all the things. But without fail, what I've seen is that all of those people were the people that are just like, well, I'm not picking up a digital camera. I'm not getting into the chat GPT. I'm not like, this is the devil. This is the devil. This is the devil. I'm not going to do it. And okay, cool. We'll see you as a skeleton on the side of the road because you're going to starve, bro.
Do you have an opinion on all of the AI visual and text? Like it's everything now.
I mean, you know, it's a tool. It's a tool.
Is there
like
any
I use
AI in your
I mean, I've
workflow?
Got a subscription to Midjourney, and we'll hit it up. Like if I have somebody who's like, okay, I want you to do your thing, right? Because you have those clients. One are like, I want this, and others are like, I just want you to do your thing without any input. I'm like, okay.
So how are you using Midjourney?
So I'll go in and just, you know, work some prompts and see what comes up and what starts looking like what I want to create. But then I have a visual for the client. My sketching is a lot faster of a process, though.
Ooh, you're a good sketcher.
I didn't say I was good.
Oh, but you do a lot. Do you like
she gets
it?
The point across.
I wish I could sketch. I want to sketch out movie scenes, like or just our tutorial scenes. Just being able to whip those up quickly, it's like, you don't want to see my sketch.
Have you played with Procreate?
No. I want to do. I don't think I need more ways to digitally create. I want to go back to more analog in my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you guys do a whole thing with Dustin about that?
We did. Oh, so I mean, like CGI was a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I love CGI is so powerful, and there's so many different areas in this industry to use it. Like IKEA has been, you know, CGI mm-hmm. for more than a decade, so it's super powerful. But I think, you know, now that there's AI, who knows where the fuck that's going to go? So a lot of our tutorials, like we were making so quickly and like the software was updating so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not going to go remake that tutorial. And it was like, it updates so much so quickly. It's like, oh.
Yeah, there's a bit. Well, I mean, even with like Lightroom and Photoshop, it's a problem, right? Because they'll mm-hmm. just release updates or decide to change everything. They don't tell anyone what's coming.
Ask forgiveness, like, not right, permission.
They just change stuff, and like you can find out a month after you just released a product that, oh, they took the thing that was in your tutorial completely out. Sorry. Yeah, it's, I mean, I know one of the times we did one of the CGI tutorials, I think it was, like, we finished editing, and then like 2 weeks later, they were like, oh, we're going to release a major update. Cool.
Thanks, dick.
Sad face, yeah. Like, I mean, the concepts and the basic tools don't change that much. And I would argue, and I do argue on a regular basis that...
You do.
Yeah,
you do. He's pretty much constantly arguing.
Yeah. But like the power of a software upgrade is that, you know, everything like you just learned in the tutorial is still there.
Mm-hmm.
They've just usually made it more accessible or made it an easier thing to do. Like, you know, I mean, people with a pen tool, there's people that want to use a pen tool because they want more control, but then you have subject selection. So if in the tutorial we just talked about, hey, here's a way to do this, and now you have a tool that's faster and it works for you, then game on. Like the steps that come beyond that, that was just about selecting the thing, right? So the steps that go beyond it and the steps that came before is still applicable because knowledge is always going to be knowledge. Like you're learning the why of things. I think too many people get stuck in the step-by-step how,
right,
when you should be concentrating on the why. Like, why was this done? And when you think about the why, that's evergreen, right? That lives forever. It's like, I'm doing this because of X, because I want to achieve it. Now, whatever tool I use to achieve it doesn't really matter.
Well, and do you guys update your courses on PowEDU? No,
we'll just redo them.
Just redo them. Is that easier than just like dropping in a, hey, this used to be that?
I mean, yes, something like an intro to Photoshop, but unless it's like a Photoshop CC 2000, I don't think we ever would do the exact or just update a course. There's so much new that you could do and just redo it. That, I mean, no, I don't think we'd ever update.
And I think, on top of that, like you're an instructor, like you'd have to coordinate, you know, that whole, right, like, you know, get everybody back together, rebuild a set to look similar to the last set that you did.
You wouldn't have
to do that.
I don't know.
Though.
I think that's the way you do it though, to piece it back together.
Otherwise, you'd be like, look the same.
Welcome back.
I don't know. I think it would actually bring value to the audience too, though.
Maybe.
Right? Like, hey, they're still connected to this instructor and they knew that this topic was still important to this audience and they wanted to bring that update to you.
Like, but I think the reason like why it gets remade a lot of times though is because, like, I mean, your whole system, your whole process, the reason why you did that originally might have changed.
Right.
And then, you know, by that point, you're coming back in and to just, hey, here's this new tool I want to update you on. But it's really not even about the new tool for you. It's about, well, I've evolved as a person and I don't really do this the same way. So am I going to say, well, I'm going to show you how to use this tool, but I don't even really do it the same way anymore.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's how Sue worked out, right? Like, it was 28 days to the 90-day challenge, 12-week to 12-month startup, you know, and just recreate the content, but just make it evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're doing now, it's our products are evolving, and I think what you're saying is actually what we're doing. So our products are going to have a kind of like this new level, and it's through certification. So we are getting our actual state certification and actually becoming a school.
Cool.
And are creating this kind of like live class that will live forever.
Okay.
And it will be added to almost on a weekly or monthly basis.
Okay.
But it's not a new product. So it's not like this product became updated on this date and now it's version 2. It will just kind of be this living, breathing thing that you can access through, you know, our pro plan.
Okay.
But then also we're developing testing, so interactive testing that you have to, you know, declare that you're going to take the test. It records you, and then at the very end of it, you actually get shot out a score. And there's like a submission. So we've been working on kind of like this process for a while because of that same reason. Like when a Photoshop gets updated, and it's like shit. Are you going to go back into this whole thing or just update one video, and that one video like looks different? Then we got to explain why that one video is different. And it's an arduous process that kind of needs this, a lot of tech to catch up, you know, like the delivery of how people are consuming, how they're learning, what device they're learning on, like all of those things come into play big time.
That's pretty fantastic, though. Yeah. That's quite the evolution. Nice.
We're excited about it. We're also doing, so we've been talking about this. So the PPA has this professional photography exam that you can take. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
So it's 500 questions. And it's kind of like the, if I pass this, I should be considered a professional.
Like I'm
a
legit.
Professional photographer.
Yeah.
So taking that idea of, you know, professional, we started really looking into their test and their resources. And, you know, in order to study for that test, they refer like two books. And these books are like super old. So it's like, all right, there's no actual learning environment for this
Aren't
like
there
certification.
Hours behind it too?
Yeah.
There's merits.
I mean, you got to be part of it, you have to declare it, and then there's also like this interactive test. But there isn't really, I think, a platform now, and this is an ever-evolving concept in our company, is how can we create a version of college that you actually go to? And, you know, you're not getting certification because your clients need it. It's not a law degree. You're getting it for your own, you know, peace of mind of like, oh, shit, I actually know what I'm talking about, and I should have the confidence to talk about, you know, the circle of confusion and all of the crazy things that people don't really take the time to learn. Like would say if you would ask the average photographer downstairs, like talk to me every stop of light and give me what they are one stop at a time. I don't think most people would be able to.
No, I would look at you and be like, well, I mean, what is the circumstance? You know, and I think there's really something to be said about going after the tech side of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, like the portrait system is dialing in on awards and accreditation, right? So you can become accredited and actually leverage that to like bring in confidence into your life. But there's nobody anywhere who's talking to me about those 1, 2, 3 pieces.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And evolving there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I dig that a lot.
All right. Last question.
Okay.
Who would win in an arm wrestling match? You or Sue Bryce?
Ooh, Sue Bryce.
Really?
Yeah.
That quickly. She's
tiny. Dude, she's a black belt. Like,
is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sue Bryce would totally win. Damn. Now, I would tower over her, but she would definitely win.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, and it was great to catch up.
Yeah, for sure.
Feels
Thanks
like it's been 30
me.
Years, but also it was like yesterday. Yeah. In a way. In a weird way.
You know what's different?
What?
There's no whiskey on the table.
I know.
Yeah, we're drinking water.
We were like, we're gonna.
Who are we?
You know,
water, no beer. We have cashews instead of almonds.
Yeah, no juice boxes.
No juice boxes.
I know.
No High Life or PBR.
Not yet. You know,
and the day is young.
Going clean.
The day is young. All right. Where can people go to find all of the things that we talked about?
CapFordCoats.com.
All right, thank you. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark, magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.